Hello, everybody. Welcome to Between Two Worlds. This is our high school youth podcast. It's good to have you with us. I think it's good to have you with us. We're seated here around the table with one cup of coffee for three guys and a box of Timbits brought to you by our corporate sponsor.
Empty.
Well, it wasn't empty.
You came with three
Talk
Timbits.
About it. It's empty. Three. Don't tell people out there. There could be thousands of people thinking that we have a box of Timbits here, but there are none.
Well, there were some.
There were three Timbits.
But you guys ravaged through them like
how many?
Hungry raccoons.
How many do you bring in here? It's a box of 10.
The box contains 10, yeah.
Yes, and how many do you bring
that
in?
That I so lovingly shared with you that were brought to me
how
by
many?
My wife. She brought 10.
How many did you bring in this room?
About four.
Four.
Four? How many did you eat in this room?
I didn't eat any. I gave them all to you.
What? I had two.
I had one. You had one too.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
you did.
Okay. Dude.
I don't remember.
Oh, you've got an addiction when you
but
can't remember
the
that.
Important part there, folks, was that we have a corporate sponsor. I made that up.
Yes, you did.
I know you made
we don't
that
have
up.
A corporate sponsor.
I know. Yeah.
But it's good to have you with us. You've already heard Ron. And you've heard Luke already.
Hey,
so
what's up?
And then you've heard me. So yeah. Anyways, it's good to be here. Have either of you ever told something or open your mouth hoping that what would come out would be funny and appropriate and suiting to the setting, the context, and had it flop?
Oh yeah.
Have you ever told what I'm asking is, have you ever told a joke wrong place, wrong time, wrong joke?
I didn't say as much as a joke, but I did say a song lyric wrong.
Ooh.
That it was so bad.
Okay, tell us more.
I don't know if I want to repeat it.
Well, you can't start halfway and then not finish.
Well, if
but
it's inappropriate.
It's inappropriate.
Well,
I can tell you the original song lyric.
Okay.
It says, I'm a do me and you go do you.
Mm.
Meaning that I'm going to just be me over here and then you go do you over there. Like, just you be you and I'll be me.
Yeah, I get that.
Right?
I say that all the time. You do you,
yeah,
man.
You do you. And one of the high school girls came up to me and she asked me something and I was going to do that song lyric. I'm like, you do you, I do me.
Oh, boy.
But I switched
oh, no.
the words around.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
That was so awkward. It was only, she was the only one who heard it, though. And we laugh about it. It's, she's probably engaged by now. It's okay.
Yeah. They call that a Freudian slip.
Ooh.
No,
that's the term, isn't it?
They don't call that.
No, well, that's like the psychological term.
That says, okay, I listen to too much music.
Apparently, I didn't listen to it enough. I got the song lyric wrong.
Exactly.
Foot in mouth, though, that's the worst. When you just, as the words are coming out, maybe this happened to you.
Yeah.
You're just wishing you could just suck
I was
them back
so,
in.
It was so embarrassing. I was.
On a lighter note, I had one of those things once happen, actually.
You say that. You have this all the time.
I do it all the time. But slip of the mouth.
Slip of the mouth.
Isn't that what? Slip of the mouth.
Ah, that's not a slip of the mouth. It's slip of the tongue.
Slip of the tongue.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah. Okay, just write it down, dude. So here, this is in my first life here at Northview. And I was in, we had a youth ministry team. We had a couple of gals that were working as our assistants. And of course, anytime food, you know, hits the office, you know, here at Northview, I mean, there is, you know, quite a mad rush. Mm. And somebody brought in something really, really awesome. And so there, and these people shall remain nameless because I just, I saw these individuals kind of run to the food, you know, and whatever, you know, no big deal. And so they came back and their plates are all full and all that kind of stuff and whatever it was. And I just went, moo, you know, and I'm just thinking that's something I would do in a high school group.
Were they girls?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, of course. And I go, and they looked at me.
Oh, man.
And the eyes could kill. And I go,
wow.
That's not, you know, I am not, that is not what I meant. That's not what I meant.
What did you mean?
Well,
exactly?
It's just like, you know, I grew up as a farm boy and
you meant
know,
they took too much food and you're calling them cows.
Yeah. And that's just, you know, like when I.
You just not think.
I just didn't think. I thought it was funny and.
Okay. So ours are different. Mine's a slip of
yeah.
the tongue. Yours
mean.
Is
that's mean.
A mean joke.
Well, you kind of asked that. That wasn't a mean joke. That was a
Oh, you were serious?
No, that was a harmless...
you would have done that like to me or Luke, probably.
Exactly.
And I would have laughed.
Yeah, it would have been.
You got to know your context, Ron.
Totally.
Got to know your context.
Oh, I felt so bad. And there is nothing you can do to recover.
Nothing.
Those
No, you
girls,
can leave work.
They, for quite a while, they were very angry with
me. Are they still angry with you?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Do they still work
here? We're not going there.
A couple years ago, a friend of mine, I didn't want to say this, but I will. Was getting married, and you know when you go to these weddings, it was a huge wedding.
Does it have anything to do with a lighter?
Nothing.
Quarters?
Okay, good. Quarters?
No, other than I was trying to lighten the mood.
Okay.
Exactly that. You know, you get put at a table at a wedding, and all these strangers. You don't really know who's who. Thankfully, it was myself, my wife, and then another couple who we did know, but then the other people around the table, I think there was another five people we didn't know. Big, big wedding, lots of people. Mm-hmm. Just delicious food, really, really well done. And I was sitting next, you know, around this table with people. And so I thought, well, you know, it's early on. You don't know these people. So you're going to try and kind of break the ice a little or tell a joke or just maybe make fun of yourself or whatever, just to kind of get people laughing. And so I don't know what I was thinking, but I thought, well, I'll tell a joke. But I didn't say, I'm going to tell a joke now. I just started telling the joke.
Yeah.
The joke goes like this. It says, when I bring you breakfast in bed, thank you is all that's needed. None of this, who are you, how'd you get into my house type of stuff. So I told this joke thinking it was funny.
Such a bad joke.
And I got all these looks, the same look that Ron's giving me right now. I got all these looks, and the mood was probably one of the most awkward things around the table for the rest of the evening.
Wow.
That...
It's creepy.
What did your wife say to you?
Afterwards, a
she
lot.
She probably hit you.
It's
you
a funny joke.
Andrew, you can't see that.
It's a funny joke.
We both didn't laugh.
No.
That's because I already told you it was a bad joke.
But why does that preference have to do anything without...
Because you might have laughed otherwise.
I don't think I would have.
It's creepy. But
it's beyond creepy.
But it's kind of funny.
Where did you think that was funny?
I heard it and I thought, you know what? I'm going to just like break the ice a little.
Oh, that broke the ice. Right.
Oh, it froze.
Sunk. You sunk badly.
It's an iceberg.
You're one of those guys that I don't invite to stuff now.
Yeah.
So anyways, that happened to me. And right away, as I'm telling this, you know, supposed punchline, I'm like, oh, you idiot. Stop. But the joke just kept coming out and that was it. That's a good one, though.
Yeah, you do you.
I will do me, and you,
oh,
you do
boy.
You.
I'll do me.
So you guys have probably, you guys both subscribe to Netflix, right?
Oh, yeah.
You live in the same house?
I have a Netflix, Ron has a Netflix, Cody has a Netflix, Janaya has a Netflix.
Separate Netflixes?
Yes. Caleb has a Netflix, and we use Caleb's account on our TV.
Yep.
Wait, why not all just have one?
Actually, I canceled mine, and then I put it on another email. So I have another
Ron
free.
Ron had two Netflix
so another month. Free. I just keep getting them free. Just make up new emails. And
you're that guy.
Yep.
But see, let me just little economics here. You can actually log in with the same account on more than one device. So you guys could be saving yourselves.
Well, it depends how much you pay.
I don't know. Whatever.
No, it's like $14.99 if you want to have five devices. It's $7.99 if you want to have two devices and one mobile. Like,
I don't even know.
So it depends on that.
There's a show, though. I'm sure you guys have seen it. 13 Reasons Why.
Wow.
Yeah, I binge-watched that.
We're getting right in. So you've binge-watched. So you've just blitzed through the whole series.
I got back from Thailand. I'm like, I'm asleep all day, awake all night.
Yeah.
I might as well watch something.
So yeah.
I watched that.
So, and you've seen it too, Ron.
Yes.
The whole thing.
Whole thing.
So what all are 13. Your... Right from the... Well, first tell me this. How did you first get into it? Like, was it recommended to you? Did you just see
it question.
On your newsfeed thing?
For me, it just came out on Netflix. Actually, I saw a couple of things. Selena Gomez posted this TV show on her Facebook, and it just came up, and I'm like, I watched it. I'm like, this would actually look pretty good. I had no idea what it was about, but anyways, and then a couple months later, it came out, and I'm just like, I watched it.
So you kind of stumbled into it.
Yeah,
yeah. I probably picked it up through a couple of friends of mine who are in youth work. Marv Penner, who does a lot of youth work here in Canada and does a lot of counseling and all that kind of stuff. And so he picked up on it. And so I thought, oh, okay, I better do this. And then just even, you know, just through other youth pastors, heard about it. And saying, hey, have you watched this? You know, it's a question. Have you watched that 13 Reasons? You know, and so then I thought, I got to dig into this thing. So Yeah.
So the show, you guys can add on to this, but basically the correct me if I'm wrong, but the over big picture of the show is a girl who's right away, like before the season starts, she's ended her life. She's taken her life. Mm-hmm. And each episode, there's 13 episodes, and each episode is one reason why. So she effectively picks out, she writes these letters, or she's got 13 reasons why she took her life.
Yeah.
And each episode focuses on one aspect or person or group of people.
Well, I think, you know, it is that. Millions of kids are watching this show. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this has hit Netflix and, you know, and it's gone crazy. And it basically, it's about a girl named Hannah Baker. And before she takes her life, she records a series of messages kind of pointing the blame. This is the reason why I took my life. And if you received this, these box of tapes, you're part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so it's a very compelling thing because obviously you don't know who's behind all of this, but you know, and you, when you think of her taking the time to do this, and remember, this is a book. It was a bestseller on New York Times a number of years ago. The author's name was Asher, I believe, and then decided to make a TV series out of it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think it's probably safe to say that unless you're a really aggressive reader, typically, and this is probably the case for you guys, unless you did read the book, I could be wrong, but we're more likely just as a culture to turn it on and to watch something. So, I mean, that goes for most people with Narnia, with Lord of the Rings. We're typically entertained visually, right?
Yes.
With this, you know, you're getting into the art, so to speak, mm-hmm. of the video, of the production. So, is it something that you, based on, you know, your experience, you know, as youth pastors and youth workers and your involvement, you know, with the youth world and, you know, your involvement with culture, as we all are, what are your impressions? Is this a show that you would start sharing and posting stuff about and recommending to people? Are there reservations you have? What are some of your initial reactions to it?
Yeah, I think there's actually some huge reservations with this. One, I don't think this show is actually made for high school students. I think this is actually made for adults.
What do you know the rating? Does it have a rating?
I don't know if there is a rating. I mean, it's
for, above
it's
14.
Graphic.
It has
to
be.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't think the intended audience is high school students. The way it is portrayed, it has adults hanging back and not really having a clue what's going on in their children's lives. And so I'd even say that this is meant to make parents and make adults actually know what is going on in high school.
Yeah.
I think that is one of the key things that they want to focus on.
It's a cultural reality show of what may or may not be happening in any high school in North America. It is a huge wake-up call in many ways. And that's why when you say who should, if your question was who should watch it, I mean, I believe every parent should watch it.
Yeah.
And I believe every youth worker should watch it.
Yeah.
Yep. Put your seatbelt on, though. You're going to hear things and see things that you haven't probably thought about or seen.
Yeah. And you have to talk about this stuff.
Oh,
like you watch this and you cannot let it sit. You just can't watch it by yourself and let it sit and be like, huh, that was good. It'll be like, you'll just be thinking about it. Like I watched it, I was watching it and I was trying to talk to people about it, but no one else had watched it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to talk about this. I'm like, my mind's just racing. When I wasn't watching these episodes, I was just thinking about it. I'm like,
and
it's crazy. What's going to happen? Like with all these tapes, what's the next issue that they're going to bring up?
Yeah. Just on a side note, I teach at Columbia Bible College and right now I'm in the midst of a 1 week intensive class called Youth Issues. And normally I have, and we just discuss all kinds of issues that teenagers are going through, from divorce to suicide to, you know, self-harm to sexual abuse. I mean, all the crazy stuff that's involved in youth ministry. And typically, and it's a college class, so I have a 10-page paper on pick a topic and write about it, research it. And so for the first time, having seen this, I changed my assignment. Today's the first day. And I'm giving the students an option. You can watch all 13 episodes of this, and then I've given them certain questions and thoughts that they need to process and take notes off, and then do a bit of a reflection on it. Because I said, if you're going to do youth ministry, and many of our kids, many of my students are going into camp ministry, and they will hear about these issues when they go to camp. Yep. You know, they'll be in a cabin with a kid, and then on Thursday, before Friday, they go home. Thursday night, they're going to talk about the fact that they've been sexually abused. Right. Thursday, they're going to talk about how they come from a home of violence. You know, all those kind of things. Or they've OD'd on drugs and blah, 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 blah. You know, all that kind of stuff.
Now, what are some of the... So you mentioned a few, sexual abuse, these kinds of things. What are other issues that come up that you're forced? Because it sounds, the way you guys describe it, sounds very much, you know, Ron, you said fasten your seatbelt. But because you're basically thrust into this world, mm-hmm. and you've got all kinds of stuff coming at you. And so this isn't something that we're, you know, recommending for, you know, the faint of heart or those who, it's not necessarily maybe the best entertainment show just for simply entertainment value. But you're really thrust into this nasty world. So what are some other things that come up?
Yeah. Some of the first things that are explored, the first is you think it's going to be about bullying and stuff like that. But the first actually comes up is sexual assault, kind of child pornography kind of thing with sexting.
Yeah.
So what happens is this guy, he's sort of dating this girl, sort of dating Hannah Baker, and his name's Justin, and he takes a picture of her coming down the slide, and it goes up her dress or skirt or whatever she was wearing. And then his friends take the phone and end up sending that picture to everyone. And so that's like the first issue that you have. And then from this, you see alcohol abuse, drug abuse, you see... gossiping, you see objectifying girls, objectifying guys, you see rape, you see drinking and driving, you see death. I think that's...
Yeah, self-harm.
Self-harm.
Yeah, and you know, and then it goes on even to other things, that, you know, the bullying is in there, you know, the peer pressure aspect of this. Plus, you see loneliness, you see apathy, you see a sense of non-reality, you see a lot of searching and no answers.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what probably one of the things that... And this is why you need to sit down as parents and watch this with your kids, because you can get caught up in the story and then you really don't know what that story is doing to your kids. Right. And that's why you need to watch it with them. Just don't give them, you know, full blunt, you know, hey, go do it. Sit down and talk about it. Talk about the narrative that is in there. What is the issues mm-hmm. that these kids are struggling with?
Yep.
How are they dealing with their current realities?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting point, too. I remember growing up, my mom, and I think still to this day, she watches Dr. Phil religiously. Every afternoon, you know, Dr. Phil, he's interviewing some, you know, snotty or stuck-up teenager girl or some sister who's stolen money or whatever. There's always some crisis who he's interviewing and trying to basically intervene. And one of the things I always remember is I would come home from school and my mom's just finished watching this episode of, you know, whatever. And somehow it pertains to youth and obviously as a concerned, loving, affectionate mother, my mom would always pull me aside and say, Andrew, like, have you heard about this? Or, you know, one of them might have been like pedophilia or child predators or something like that. So she'd come to me, Andrew, has there ever been anyone who's maybe of concern to you or anyone who said anything? You know, and she's always following up with whatever Dr. Phil was on. Mm-hmm. She's pulling me aside and we're having this discussion. Mm-hmm. And so often, I mean, there was never anything like that. Praise be to God. So she would always, you know, and I always say, Mom, I'm fine. Don't worry. Now, do you think take a show like 13 Reasons Why, you know, versus Dr. Phil, can it cause maybe some undue, would you say, or is it helpful? Is it maybe an undue set of sense of uneasiness or stress from a parent's perspective? Like, do you think all teenagers are exposed to these things? Do you think it's an accurate depiction of a high school teenage?
Well, I think there's opportunity for any teenager who watches that to pick any one of the characters and say, that's me.
Right.
I'm the nerd. You know, raise my hand. I'm the nerd. You know, and there's for sure one nerd in there, and then there's the, you know, the stud athlete that can't do anything wrong, you know, that kind of stuff. And then there's stuck up people, there's popular people, there's unpopular people, you know, and then of course Hannah gets, you know, called the slut, you know.
Right.
And then they have contests to see whose girl's got the best butt, you know. And you know, and then it's just this objectifying that you talk about, on and on it goes. So you could just see how kids can watch this and say, wow, I've seen one of those things happen. And then, you know, I mean, so as a parent, you're watching this thing, but you've got to recognize, and this is the one thing that happened right away is when I saw it, I says, there is no hope here.
Mm-hmm.
No hope. These kids are lost. Yeah. They are in so over their head, and some of them come from parents that are trying to talk to them, but kids are being kids, let's say. Some are so disjointed as a family. There's abuse in the family. There's neglect. There's divorce. There's, you know, mom's living with a guy. There's, you know, it's terrible, terrible, terrible. You know, it doesn't depict, you know, the, you know, obviously the narrative of the gospel. There is no hope there, no. You know. And that's the sad thing about all of this is that you watch it. It's riveting because you get angry because you want justice. You know, this girl, it should have never happened. She never should have taken her life. And if you, you know, and but you realize all of them had no hope. You know, there's not a mention of the word of Jesus Christ other than a swear word in that movie, that show.
It's interesting you bring up all these things, and I know we're talking about this show, but there's other shows, you know, like this that are on Netflix. I mean, another one is a popular one these days is Riverdale. It kind of brings out this part of there's a whole bunch of different characters that you can identify with. And I think as a viewer, I think that's the producers and the writers, that's a job well done for them to create such a life-like situation where the viewers can actually identify themselves. Hey, you know, maybe I'm this nerd, or maybe I'm a little bit like Hannah, or maybe I'm a little bit like Archie, or, you know, whichever show. I think that's probably the goal of the producers, is to really be able to connect students or whoever, maybe parents reflecting back on their years, to be able to identify as a certain character or with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably a success. Now, another question too would be, as parents or as youth workers, what are some ways that we can interact? Because, you know, we got to be very cautious about condoning or recommending this.
Yeah, you don't want to go down this track of this is a glorification of suicide.
Right.
You know, and that's what often can be the trail of something like this. And I agree with you, Luke. Yeah. That wasn't the intent of this teenage movie, you know, or to be this teenage show. I mean, it was meant for adults, but all of a sudden kids get a hold of that. And because of their incapacity to think clearly, and it's very narrow, that they can be fixated on this solution that Hannah had.
Yeah. We know this, teenagers don't think about the consequences that are going to happen when they make a decision. So if they decide to drink and drive, they're not thinking about that. This could end in a car accident. They're thinking, I was going to drive home.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're thinking. Whereas with this, all you see is Hannah Baker, I'm going to do this and my story will get out. And then everyone will feel guilty. Everyone will have I'll have this pity love. And
it's a bit of a legacy
kind of thing. But then, well, she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
She's gone. I mean, we forget that you are no longer existing.
Yeah.
So even if that's what you are going for, is that I want everyone to know my story, you won't even know if everyone knows it. So let's say like she dies, and then the tapes disappear.
Yeah.
Her whole life is on those tapes, and she won't even know.
Yeah.
She won't know if people remember. She won't know any of this stuff because she died. And that's what kids don't think of is that she's actually dead.
So this show, exactly, it revolves around Hannah. And
which is, that's the great irony.
You know, and yet at the very end, she's gone and cannot come back. And all of these kids' lives are ruined because of the way they treated her. What was she after? We talked about this in a few shows back that, you know, I truly believe this, that every teenager longs for affection, affirmation, and attention. She moved into...
I knew the three A's were coming.
I know, the three A's were coming. But here's the deal. She moves into this town, brand new, trying to fit in. You know, she's a sophomore in high school, I believe, at that point in time.
Yeah, she moves in grade 10, and the story...
is grade 11.
No, the story is... she kills herself at the beginning of grade 11.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So the story took place all in grade 10. She comes in grade 9 going into grade 10.
So the idea is that she's trying to fit in. Mm-hmm. And she's got a very perceptive mind. She sees things and, you know, and Clay is a guy that, you know, is kind of this pseudo nerdo dude that, you know, they work together and all this kind of stuff. But they connect. And he's too shy to figure this out. Can't ever, I'd never have a girl that looked that good, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so it doesn't ever think that he's worthy of this or whatever to speak, you know, but it's just all this high school drama that gets sucked into this thing. And then she plays for the wrong dude. And then it just escalates from there. And there's so much intentionality there to figure out the meaning of life that they all miss. They all miss. These lives are forever wrecked. And some of them on a pathway that, you know, you're thinking scholarships of basketball and academics and all those things. And yet there's no gospel. There's nothing in there that even reflects any hint of hope and any of that kind of narrative. And so then what do we have to do is we have to recognize, you know, parents, our kids are growing up in a very confusing world.
Yeah.
Very confusing world. So we need to walk alongside with them, seeing these shows and walking with them and asking questions about this.
Yeah. And with that, I want to push back on the sort of hope thing, but I know there's no hope in that. But what the producers, what the writers, whoever directed this thing, what their hope is instead in the last couple episodes, is love. Hmm. And that's what their hope is, that none of this would have happened if Clay would have loved Hannah or would have said how he felt. Mm-hmm. And so the danger of coming away from here is girls and guys putting all of their faith into this love from another individual, being like, now that's enough to keep me living. Because even like Tony says to Clay, you can't love someone back to life. Mm-hmm. And Clay's like, but I can try. I'm like, I mean, that's not.
But see, that's where our world.
That's where our world is that it thinks that this love will complete can fix.
Me. Yeah. This will complete me. That relationship will completely. It will complete me. It will make me.
Yes.
Into the person that I'm going to be.
If only she got that,
yeah.
Not this story would have never happened.
That's right.
It would have been some tragic stuff happened in high school, but then she found the guy of her dreams who turned out to be Clay, and it would have been happily ever after for the rest of high school.
Yeah.
And we get so caught up in that, and we think that is what we need. And as high school kids, it's just like, I need that boyfriend. I need that girlfriend. This love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is something that... parents need to talk to their kids about. Love aspect is like, what are you feeling? Do you feel like this is the love you need? Because this is going to end in hopelessness. Mm-hmm. Because there's only one love that actually surpasses this world that we live in, and that's the love of Christ. And that's the only thing that's actually worth anything that has any actual real hope in.
Yeah.
And so kids can get so lost in that romantic feeling, thinking that this will fix everything, because it won't.
So what are a couple things that you would that are worth interacting with, let's say, from a parent who either has watched it or maybe not watched it but just heard about it, or you know, read an article about it? What are some things that are critical? So we've talked a little bit about, you know, the meaning of life and you know, kind of the hope that we have. What are what's one or two touch points or maybe key themes that must be brought up and worth clarifying, maybe with students who could be watching this maybe just for entertainment value or without a discerning mind?
I think one that covers all of them is PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. You see that in one of the leads in Jessica, how she got raped and then started drinking and during school and smoking weed during school, and all of it just got worse and worse. And you see that with Hannah and getting bullied, and she doesn't know how to deal with this. It's that when stuff happens, we have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica had to deal with this. She could not get past it. And that's why she was acting up and drinking and smoking, is because she has this PTSD. Something, this awful, awful thing happened to her, and everyone just acted like it was normal. People even heard it on the tapes, and they're just like, oh no, that's either not true or she's just imagining things. And so with this is that we need to talk about what's happened in our lives. Mm-hmm. We just can't let it go silent. And so parents, like, this is even sometimes pushing your kids until they're uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I would say this, you know, as youth workers, we are called to love and lead kids. Mm-hmm. Parents, you are called to love and lead kids, your kids. And so this is a show, these are shows that would and should drive a lot of conversations to a lot of difficult stuff. You're going to hear words that you don't often hear in your house. You're going to see scenes and you're going to hear things that you know, you hope that you never have to hear in reality. But this is the stuff that is happening in our world. And don't leave any stone unturned. It is uncomfortable, as Luke said. We are called to love our kids and to lead our kids and to make sure that we are not in a disconnect with them. Mm-hmm. If there's one thing that I saw there was even from the school administration to the parents, and it was depicted as that these people were so out of touch with the reality of what's going on in those classrooms, in those hallways, and after school. It just seemed like they missed everything. And, of course, it just escalated, you know, and so things get worse.
Yeah, because parents, I mean, not all, but they'll be like, not my kid.
Yeah.
That's not my kid.
Totally.
Even like the main characters, like Clay's parents, they're like, no, not my Clay. And then throughout the show, they're getting like, that is my Clay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He is doing, what's going on with him? And all this stuff that's been happening, parents just have no idea.
And kids will lie.
Oh,
kids will lie. And it's,
I have kids lie to my face all the time. I know exactly what they did. And they're so, like, no, I didn't do that. I'm like, okay, that's cool.
You know, and no, it's not cool. But the point is, I know what you mean.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But kids do lie to us.
Yeah.
And they somehow think that is going to give us more time. Lying says it gives me more time to figure this out. And really, it just puts them down a faster, slippery slope out, you know.
Right.
And so parents, I mean, it's not about calling your kids liars. It's just saying, make sure you enter into the journey with your kids where they're at, dealing with what their stuff. And that doesn't mean you have to have all the answers. That means you are in conversation. And if there is stuff that's going on, well, there are people out there that can help. There are professionals. There are counselors. There are people that specialize in dealing with difficult, difficult circumstances. And I mean, a place like this should have had counselors on the site, you know, day and nights almost, you know.
Yeah, and it said that counselor had 600 students he was looking after.
Yeah.
I'm like, 600? One counselor, 600? Yeah. I mean, Moet has three counselors.
Yeah.
For 1,400 kids. I'm like, give me a break.
Yeah, it's not happening.
So I think maybe what we can just take away from this is, as just to reiterate again, it's not a show that we, you know, we're pleased to sit down, and it's not probably not easy watching for the average person. But I think it's worth considering. And even if, you know, you decide for yourself that maybe you're not going to watch it, it's important to be aware of what's out there. The Bible obviously doesn't call us to be ignorant. It calls us to be, you know, unstained and to be unworldly. But that doesn't mean that we just shield our eyes and plug our ears and sit in the corner and, you know, pretend stuff isn't there. This is a reality of our world. And this show, by the way, isn't the only one out there that brings up some of these sticky issues. It's just a very, very prominent one right now.
And if I could just close with 1 second, sorry to interrupt. I know you're wrapping up here, but I would even suggest watching Mom and Dad, watching the show alone, and then taking some notes too, because you'll see it twice and you'll catch things that maybe your kid catches that you don't catch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to watch it and say, okay, now we're going to watch this together. And you've actually watched it because you know what's coming and you're able to kind of discern a little bit better.
Yeah, that discernment is huge. Yep. Yeah. So if you've got things you want to bring up, or maybe it's about this show, maybe it's about something else, if you would like to interact with us or tell us a joke, one that's funnier than the one I told,
please do so, between2worlds@northview.org.
And if you want to interact with us or give us some feedback, that'd be great. We will see you next time. Thanks for your time.